Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this night. Father God, we pray right now, Lord, that you'll speak to me, speak through me, have your way tonight. Father God, in this end time, there's somebody here, Lord, who feel like they've lost it all, and they see no way of recovering. But Father God, we stand and we touch and agree tonight in the Spirit, Lord, that you said that we can have recovery and that everything that the enemy tried to take from us, Father God, we have recovery tonight. Your word tonight, Lord, for somebody, Lord, is just to pursue. Your word for somebody tonight is just to go after. Your word for somebody tonight, Lord, is just to believe in me, step out on faith. So Father God, we come to you tonight, Lord, in spirit and in truth, believing you, Lord, believing that all things are possible if we just believe in you. So Father God, we thank you for this night, and we thank you, Lord, for what our eyes are about to see, our spirit is about to receive in the name of Jesus. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Come on, praise the name of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And I shall recover it all. If there's one thing that is common to all men, meaning mankind, it is the fact that in life you're going to lose some things. You're going to lose some relationships. You're going to lose some investments. You're going to lose out on some friends. You're just going to lose some stuff in life. When you lose things in life, you have to be careful to understand that in the spirit realm, those things really are not lost. They are simply out of place. Now, notice I said the things are out of place, not you being out of place. Now, when something is out of place, the title doesn't change. Just because I misplaced my keys doesn't mean that they're not my keys. So the ownership of them is still mine. There's some stuff in your life that Satan has set out of place. And you think that it is lost. It's not lost. It's just out of place. And because the thing is out of place, what it needs is to be realigned with what God is calling you to do. In the garden, when God created mankind, God created, then gave us every single thing that we need. There is nothing that you need in life that you don't have right now. So because everything that you need, you have right now. In the garden, when Adam lost everything, Adam put everything out of whack. When sin came about, things that was promised to us are still promised to us. But now sometimes in life, we have to go get our stuff. We have to pursue our stuff. To pursue something means to go after something, not necessarily that you're going after it because you have to take it, but you're just going after it so that you can show up where your stuff is. I wish you understood what I'm saying to you. What I'm communicating to you tonight is simply this, and that is there's some stuff in life that you lost, and it's still there, but you got to go get your stuff. It has not changed title, ownership. It is still yours. What Satan tries to do is to distract you to think that just because it's not in place, it's no longer yours. The car, the house, the job, the health, the peace of mind, all of that stuff is still yours, but something is not in line with the word of God. And so God says, but if you seek ye first the kingdom. Yes. Notice he didn't say, but seek first to join a church. He says, seek first the kingdom. And the kingdom being, come after my will. When you come after my will, everything that I desire for you, that I created for you, that I have planned for you, when you come after me, I'll align you to get the stuff because then I'll begin to order your steps. And the Bible declares that the steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord. I don't always understand why I'm going here, going there, or why this is always happening, but what I do know is God truth be told, what I'm looking for is right there. My question is, God, why do I gotta go to Florida to get to 8th Street in Columbus, Georgia? Now, God has a purpose in mind. So when God allows us to go through something, you have to remember that God is always about the process, the journey to get there, not necessarily what you're going to get when you get there. Because if you get there prematurely and you're not ready for it, you're not processed, you're not pruned, you haven't gone through something, someone can give you something, it is a blessing, but to receive it prematurely, it will hurt you. Man. Too many in the body of Christ want something. They want a fresh anointing. They want the power of this person and the gift of this, but you can't handle what you already have. And so God begins to take us through a process. And when God begins to take us through a process, what God is trying to do is trying to purge us. Now, in order to purge something, it must come under submission. Remember I said that God says, seek ye first the kingdom. So God wants us to come under the submission, under His will, and under His way. When God is saying to us that now you're under what I desire for you, then God begins to use us. And so as God begins to use us, sometimes in life, the very first thing that God will show us is obstacles. But I was fooled because you told me if I came to church, God will supply all of my needs. You told me if I came to church, I can cast my cares upon Him. You told me if I came to church, I'll never have any problems. And the moment that I really dedicate my life to Christ, it seems like hell break loose in my life. And I'm wondering, okay, God, you're going the wrong way. Because I just did the right thing by dedicating myself to you. Why did you move? And God is saying to us, because now I need to begin to perfect you. Not to make you sinless, but to perfect you, to mature you, to grow you up. Because in the body of Christ, too many of us are babes in Christ. You say something to me, I get mad, I'll leave the church, I go join another church, and then I talk about you and say everything that you about is wrong. You make me mad, and then I get on the phone and I call somebody and I lie on you because I am such an immature person. So God takes us through a process to grow us up. And so in the midst of going through the process, God often will remove all of your so-called friends from you so that you can have a relationship one-on-one with Him. Have you ever been going through something and before the journey, before the process began, you had lots of friends around you? And you begin to go through something, you pick up the phone, you call one of them, this one busy, this one is not here, this one got an excuse, this one the child, this one the mother. It seems like nobody is available for you. But the moment that they were going through something, you were right there, what you need. You were right there, tell me what I can do. But you begin to go through something and they disappear on you. And if you're not careful, you'll look at the person and say, why are you doing that instead of seeing that God has His hands in that situation? God is always in control. And so sometimes God removes people so that you can listen to Him, so that you can focus on Him, because God has a place for you, but the place begins with a process called pain. My Lord. Pain. And so God begins to allow us to go through something, and what we're going through involves so much pain. Now, when pain enters our life, the first thing that we'll say if we're not careful is that God is mad with me, that God doesn't love me, that I've sinned, and God is just judging me. And the truth of the matter is, when you begin to dedicate yourself to God, then you give God permission. Permission to use you. You give God permission to put you in the den of lions. You give God permission to put you in the storm. You give God permission to do whatever He wants to do with you. Now, God knows where He's taking you. Therefore, He knows the process, the journey that you have to go through. Watch David's story. David's story is kind of, it's a 2010 story. It's a story where David had it going on. And I know some of us sometimes think we got it going on until we surround ourselves with some folk who has hyped us up, and then as soon as something happened, people turn on you. Now, David was the man. And David was out about God's business, and he was out just being a great person for God and being a mature Christian. And so he had his troops with him, and he had everything that he needed, and David was going outside, and David was about God's business. You know, I'm kind of leery that every time you see a preacher, you always see a little entourage around him. Doesn't that concern you today? It makes you think, what is security that that person has? Why do you who pastor a church of 50, 100, 200, 500, what do you need with an alma bear? What do they do? The truth of the matter is, no disrespect, but if something happens in my life, I believe I can defend me as well as anybody else in this church can. And so we sometimes don't understand what we're doing. So we want not really armor bearers as in praying. Most preachers today want flunkies around them. Yes men around them. You know, I want the folk around me who don't mind saying, Tony, that's just wrong. That's just stupid. That just doesn't make sense. And if you got a friend in your life, your friend needs permission to tell you the real truth. But most of us don't want to hear that. So we surround ourselves with people who's going to say this the way that we want to. Listen, if you're the smartest person in your group, you're in the wrong group. You can't be so insecure that you don't want intelligent people around you. Because intelligent people around you, it doesn't matter who gets the credit, they're going to raise you up as they raise themselves up. I don't want to be around a bunch of dummies. Some God-fearing people. Some people who can say, you know, that really don't make sense right there. But you have to know who you are, that you don't walk away and just, I don't know who God think he is telling me. Well, he's a friend. That's who he is. And thank God for people that doesn't mind telling you the truth. Now, here's David. David is surrounding himself with a bunch of people. They go out to battle. They come back. When they come back, what they discover is that all of the women and the children has been placed in captivity, and they've been taken away. Now, notice your Bible says that they are taken away. I love the fact that the Bible says that they are taken away. Now, anything that is taken from me, I know that if God loves me and blessed me something with something, God doesn't take something from me. He may suspend something, but it's still there. God doesn't give me something, then I change my mind. I want it back. Now, I may be out of position that I can't get to it, but if the blessing has my name on it, my name is on it. And because God, who is the author and the finisher of my faith, he wouldn't take the time to assign a blessing to me, knowing I would never get it. So even if I'm out of place, one day God knows I'm coming back home to get what is rightfully mine. So whatever Satan took from me, I can recover it in due time. David goes out, and when David goes out, he and his men come back, and they discover that the village that they were in was burned up. Here's your 2010 story. Fire comes about to purge you. When you find yourself going through something, always ask yourself, what does God have to do with this? Because if you're not careful, you'll say, well, Miss Pam stepped on my toe. God don't have anything to do with this. Miss Pam, you better watch out. And God is saying, but I'm setting you up for something. And God is saying to you, iron sharpens iron. And so sometimes what God will permit in your life is you to happen to you. That is, what you see in somebody else, God is saying, you'll see it in them, judge them, but that's really you. But you won't see it in you, but you'll see it in the next person. So the Bible says when iron sharpens iron, it means that God will always send you to correct you. Oh, I thought this thing was about Miss Pam. And God is saying, no, it's not about her. That's a vessel of mine. I'm trying to fix you. See, but we'll look at everybody else instead of looking at self. And God is saying, no, don't look to your left. Don't look to your right. Look at you, because you got some issues in your children are gone. And so all the men that just came from battle, they began to cry. Oh, Lord took my wife and took my children and God took everything and the village, the house that I have, now it's all burned down. Everything is a loss. And so David is sitting there saying, you know, this thing hurt. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And you know, in the midst of going through something, you can't think very clearly. Let me talk to y'all over here. When the right pain hits you, your mind goes somewhere else. I'm talking, I'm being real. I don't care how saved you are, how sanctified you are, when the right thing hits you for a minute, baby, that mind goes, oh, you can come pick it up tomorrow. But right then, I don't know what to do. I don't know who to trust. I don't even know my name right now. Lord, I don't even know what to say to you. And so that was the story of these men. And so those men then turned to David and said, hey, David, if we had not been with you, we would have been here to protect the women and the children. So it's your fault that you let us out. So we gonna blame you. And so isn't that just like friends? The same one that you carry on your back. The same one that you sit down and break bread with. The same one that you give your last $20 to. Now when things go south, they blame you for their troubles. And so David is saying, why me? I lost. The Bible declares, look, if you don't believe this, look at verse number 2. Verse number 2. No, I'm sorry. Look at verse number 5. Verse number 5. Look, the first thing you see, and David, what? David said, I lost 2 wives. So he said, my loss is as great as your loss. Why are you blaming me? And so when people begin to point fingers at yourself or at you, if you're not careful, if you're not strong in your faith, you'll go lay down somewhere because you think, well, maybe they're right. If everybody is right, you're traveling on the wrong road. The Bible declares that the road is a narrow road. So when you get in the majority, you better watch out because you're probably traveling opposite of what God wants you to travel. See, because everybody won't travel where God wants them to travel. And so what David says is, I hear what you're saying. Y'all acting crazy. I'm suffering just like y'all suffering. David says, well, I'll go encourage myself. You gotta know who you are. You gotta know when the church doors is closed, I still can praise God. You gotta know if nobody else is there, I still got a praise inside of me. So David says, I'll encourage myself. Point number one, David gave God some praise. I don't care about your situation. I don't care how many people are around you. Baby, you better find your own praise. You better reach down inside of you and find something to be thankful for. I may not live where you live, but thank God I got a house. I'm not on the street. I may not want to drive what you want to drive, but thank God I got something. And baby, I may not be able to get my hair done as much as you can get yours, but thank God I got some hair. Even if it's not yours, if you bought it, it's still yours. You gotta thank God that you have the ability to even buy. You better give God some praise. And it says, now David encouraged himself. Now, when David began to encourage himself, it means that David began to praise God. And now, notice what happens. Look down in verse number 8. And David inquired at the Lord. Now, I was a little bit confused by this. Because if I was writing Samuel, I would have said, and David inquired in the Lord. In other words, what David is saying is that sometimes I find myself out of place. Don't know what to do. I'm just going that way. Lord, I don't know where you are, but I know that you is omnipresent. You everywhere. So I'm just going to praise you right here. Notice that he began to praise God, and then he inquired, which means he prayed. But before he prayed, he praised. You ever wonder why praise and worship come before the word? he inquired at the Lord. Now watch this. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue? He asked permission from God, point number three, to penetrate.
Don't do that. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Watch this. You remember
back in the club, you'll go to the club and you'll listen to Luther. Look at you, Chuck. You'll listen to Luther Vandross.
You listen to Luther. In other words, you'll get your club praise on. On your drive home, you say, I hope she do it. You praying that's going to work out. That's your prayer. Then when you get home to get intimate with God, you say, those days, I need to penetrate from the atmosphere that I need to go deeper. Amen. Because you understand that what you're with me, you're carrying a seed. And what you're trying to do, young man, is to release a seed. Because when you release your seed, there is a harvest that is on the other side. God is saying, you better get intimate with me. No good. He says my actions is to pursue it. When he begins to pursue the thing, he says something open up for me.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
When you come after God, get your mind right. When you come after God, he opened up some stuff for you. Some stuff that Satan thought he closed the check. Pursue. He wants to know, should I go after what is mine? Now watch this, because the word recovery in the Greek is sozo. S-O-Z-O. What it means in the English is where we get the English word save. Now that messed me up. Because I'm thinking, if I gotta recover something, then that means I don't have it anymore. I got to go back and get it. But what David is saying is that all I got to do is save what is already mine. He said it never left and gone anywhere. So what recovery is to overcome a temporary or short-term setback. Your struggles are short-term. Your struggles is to get you in a place where you begin to praise God, pray to God, penetrate into God, and then once you begin to do that, God is saying, now I open up. Now I'm going to allow something to come back into your life. Something that you thought was gone, but all along you had it. All along, baby. So what you think you're missing, you already got it. God is saying, I'm going to send it back. Tonight I stood to talk to somebody who needs to know it. sin? And shall I pursue after this truth? Shall I overcome them? And he answered, God, this is, God says, pursue. In the midst of your storm, you don't have to tell God a whole lot of stuff. In the midst of your eviction, you don't have to tell God the eviction date. In the midst of you losing your job, you don't have to tell God what bills is due. God already knows. And God will say just something simple in your ear. Well, I got you, baby. But God, aren't you going to say something else? I told you I got you. But God, aren't you going to give me a long speech? No, I got you. So David said, David said, shall I pursue? And then God answered him and said, pursue. Listen to this in verse number 8. For you shall, not a doubt in your mind, baby. Surely, he said, shall, like it's going to happen. Just in case you don't get it, he said, surely. Surely, 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 he said. He says, and surely overtake them. In other words, I'm telling you that when you pursue, you already got victory. Oh, Lord have mercy. Pursue it and you're going to overcome it. And then the last portion of verse number 8. And he says, without fail. In other words, you can rest assured. Without fail. He says, recover it all.
Thank you, Lord.
Recover it all.
Thank you, Lord.
In closing, I want to say this. When we deal with recovery to get back what is ours, I love the Lord. I trust the Lord. But I have issues with that portion. Because what David was saying is, I'm going to pursue. Listen to what he said. He says, watch this. You have to really study the Word of God. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after what? Truths. David thought it was about the people, about revenge. God is saying, I ain't thinking about them haters in your life. You keep looking at troops, folk that working for Satan. He says, I ain't thinking about them. He says, you're going to recover all. In other words, what he's saying to David is that not only will you get the people, and God will move the people out of the way, he says, but you're going to get everything back. In other words, when I was looking at that, I was trying to figure that thing out. I was doing the research, and what it's really saying is that you'll get back everything Adam lost in the garden. Everything Adam lost in the garden. One of my favorite passages of scripture is Genesis 1:26. That's where God says, and you'll have dominion. You'll have power and authority over everything. Over my finances, over my job, over my investment, over every single thing. He says you got dominion over it. But you ask some of us how we doing. All right, under the circumstance. And I'm sure God is saying, what you doing under that? Because I gave you dominion to be over. Remember, you are the head and not the tail. You are the lender, not the borrower. What you doing?
of the Lord tonight as we prepare to leave. Listen, God wants you to have it all back. Everything. Not just a piece of what you lost. And you know what? Here's the struggle in life. What you thought you had really wasn't what God wanted you to have. Sometimes we pray and ask God to restore something, and God is saying, man, that ain't even good enough for you. You don't want him back. You don't want her back. I got something else in store for you. And you sitting there, you crying over spilled milk. You got to begin to praise God and rejoice. Oh, Lord, she left me. Thank you, Jesus. Your struggle is because you think that you lost your salvation or you lost eternal life. We extend an invitation to you, and that invitation is that if you would receive Christ as your personal Savior, he'll receive you tonight. Recovery begins right now. You're a non-believer. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, your recovery begins right now.